All right, welcome everyone to this latest edition of the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I am, as always, Brian, and joining me, as always, is my awesome co-host, Jim.
Ahoy, Captain.
Ahoy. And we are both exhausted, I think, this week for various different reasons. So this might be a shorter one than usual if we can stay awake. We have a topic this week, and that topic is piracy.
Arr.
We didn't even...
You know, I find that I can't walk past anybody with an eye patch in Walmart without thinking, arr.
I just was laughing because we did that at the exact same time and almost the exact same way. We didn't even plan that. We didn't even talk about it beforehand. It just kind of happened. That was great.
Well, you know. That's how pirates have to operate.
Yeah, so we don't have a...
Synchronized.
We don't have a guest this week. We will have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No,
I was going to say...
Next week.
We do have a guest next week. The Void Destroyer Kickstarter started a few days ago, last week. And we're going to have the dev of that game. I forget his name. I think it's Paul. God damn it. I'm terrible. We're going to have the dev of that game next week for our interview. So stay tuned for that. But this week, we're going to talk a little news, a little gaming, a little piracy. Not a lot in the news. I think I just said it. Besides... Void Destroyer Kickstarter launching, which is actually doing well, if I recall correctly.
Now, is this a game where you fly around and destroy voids?
Yes, you destroy voids.
How does that work?
Remember in NeverEnding Story how...
No, never saw it.
You never saw the NeverEnding
Story? I heard it was a good movie, and I only watch bad movies.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's.
I heard NeverEnding Story 2. Is definitely in my ball.
NeverEnding Story 2 is terrible. But NeverEnding Story 1 is fantastic. It's dark for like a kid's movie. Like people die and shit. It's like, well, people. But I just found the Void Destroyer. It's like, we were talking about it earlier. It's a RTS mix of flying and commanding. But he's almost...
Oh, yeah, that.
He's almost halfway to his goal already. As I'm looking at it right now, it's 9,370 out of 20,000, which is a nice, modest goal, not asking for too much. So he's almost halfway there, and he's only, I think, 5-6 days into this. So, damn.
Yeah. It looks to me like if it was a space RTS that you could zoom in and get a view like Homeworld is kind of the vibe that I was getting from that.
Well, yeah, it's like a space RTS, but you can zoom in on a ship and take control of it and fly that around. So kind of what you wanted to do in Homeworld but couldn't. At least that's what I wanted to do. The first thing that comes to mind is 1942 Pacific Air War, but in space, which is a game I've wanted for a long time. Starship kind of did that, but this also looks like it's going in that vein. So I'm excited about that. And I guess the other big...
What was that?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What was that one that I showed you earlier that it basically looks like Wing Commander?
Oh, that's... You were the third person to tell me about that in the last week, which is hilarious.
They did like a mock box art for their green light, and it's basically the Wing Commander 2 box art.
I know. It's
like,
great.
And I was just like, oh, there's no suspicion of what this is.
I know. They now, left nothing it's called to Ethereum, and I just played the demo of it about an hour ago, and it is very Wing Commander-esque in a good way. I like how they recommend you use a joystick, which is great. The only problem was it didn't look at my throttle correctly. So like I had to pull all the way back to go to full throttle instead of pushing forward, and I couldn't find a way to invert it. So that was weird. And like the joystick, trying to set the joystick buttons was weird because every time I tried to push a button, another button selected itself. So I had to like now. That was kind of annoying. But once I got it all set up, except for the throttle, it was fun. So I played – apparently the demo is like 4 missions. And
that's a pretty generous demo.
And I played 2 of them. And it was very Wing Commander-esque. I mean, you had the rec room. You had the briefing. I mean, and this is not in a bad way. I was definitely getting a good Wing Commander-esque vibe. You had the whole autopilot thing. Definitely getting a good vibe out of it. And the combat was fun. Maybe a little I don't know if it was just the demo or what, but it was a little easy because I destroyed like 8 ships in one mission all by myself. But it, again, is a demo. It is a very early copy. Or maybe I'm just that good. No, I don't know. But the demo was fun. And apparently it has a intelligent procedural mission generation thingy. And You know that I love anything procedurally generated, so I'm gonna.
I know.
So I'm gonna try and get in touch with these guys and see if we can get them on. But yeah, I think it's just funny how you're the third person, and within a week, like two people emailed me, or maybe no, one person left a comment. I think one person emailed me, and then you brought it up today in chat, and I was like, oh my god. And no, I love that. I love how like I'm only one guy. Stuff slips beneath my crack. Stuff slips between my fingers. I almost said something else that would have sounded terrible.
I know. It was like, you put it where?
The envelope, please. No, not that one. What am I talking about? Yeah, I'm tired, people.
Hey, Enemy Starfighter. There's a screenshot of that you put up.
Yeah, it's an animated screenshot. It's an animated screenshot, which I love.
So that looked pretty interesting. Yeah. I was just like, I'd play that.
Yeah, it also has that same kind of plan your missions in this like strategy-based mission planner and then zoom in to fly in one fighter, which looks fantastic. And it has great cel-shaded art that reminds me of Flotilla, which I really liked. So, yeah, I don't know where that is, but he's putting stuff up on Twitter every now and again. And that's cool. So I guess besides that, the big news is that Odyssey – the mission pack for Eve, the 19th apparently expansion. Holy crap.
That's a lot.
I know. Well, they've been around for 10 years now. They just had their 10th anniversary.
You know, I went on to Mitanni earlier today, and I swear they've got the guy goes over all those changes to probes and scanning and stuff.
I did take a gander at that because that was one of my favorite things in Eve was the probing. Oh,
I found it to be the cure for insomnia. I was, you know, I if I had given it like 2 seconds more, I'd have been gone.
Yeah, you know, it's not for everyone. I love that kind of exploration scanning stuff in games like this.
I love the concept of Eve. I hate the execution, like when I have to execute
it. Yeah, I mean, it's
because I don't have that much time.
I don't either. And a lot of people love it, and it's great for them. But I've been saying for a while now, I have more fun reading about it than actually playing it. And
exactly.
The thing that's great about it is there's no other MMO that does what it does or that can do what it does. There's no other pure sandbox, fully player-driven type thing like that where you hear these stories about intrigue and backstabbing and people stealing lots of ISK. And it's amazing in that regard. But
So it basically lets people be douchebags to each other.
Really does. And that kind of leads into our topic.
Oh no, I thought you were going to talk about like getting free games.
Well, that's awesome too, but
not that kind of piracy. Not that kind you mean of piracy. You mean like playing a pirate in a game. Oh.
Though people, if you do want free games, starting your own blog is an awesome way to do it. Though don't start
I know, I thought about that.
Don't start one about space gaming, please.
What about one about indie games?
No, I love indie games. I love indie developers. I keep buying. Oh god, please don't let my girlfriend hear this. I keep buying indie games cuz one, they're cheap, and two, which I love, when especially they're cheap if you get them in the beta alpha area.
Yeah,
but there's so many good ones and they're so innovative and they're like
I'm kind of weirded out though. Like Steam just brought their new feature where you can actually get alpha access to games, right?
Yeah.
So it's like indie stuff because nobody's going to put like AAA titles up there that you know get early alpha access or whatever.
Right.
But they might give it to you for like a pre-order or something. I don't know. But basically, this seems to be like a bunch of indie games that are like, give us $20 and we'll let you play the alpha.
Well, that's what they were doing anyway. Then now they're just doing it through Steam. Like Kerbal Space Program is on there, and you can buy through their store. You can buy the alpha, but now you can just do it through Steam. And the nice thing they did is they gave everyone Steam keys once they got on Steam. So that's how I got that set up.
Yeah, and that's pretty nice, right?
Like,
I can see that. It's definitely better than just a pre-order because it's like, oh, I gave you $20 and then I sit on my hands and wait. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I trusted you with my money. Like, let me help you test this game.
Yeah, the Minecraft, I think that's what people are calling it, the Minecraft method of beta-ing now. I think it's fantastic. I mean, some people don't, and I get it. I mean, I think I was listening to a podcast where they were saying that if you let fans dictate everything about your design, you've lost. And I get that.
I totally agree with that because then you end up with like design by committee.
Exactly, which you never want. But if you have a strong, if you have your own strong design goals and you're taking user feedback to fix bugs, you're taking user feedback to fix balance issues, then that's fantastic. I have no problem with that. But no, we're not talking about software piracy. No, we're talking about in space game piracy and
interstellar piracy.
And the reason I thought about this as a topic.
Do they have space parrots?
Parrots?
Yeah, in space.
Parrots?
You can't, I don't know. No. Yeah, like, can you imagine a parrot with a little bubble helmet on?
Oh, my God. There was, like, an FMV game called Space Pirates, but I never played it, and I don't know if it ever had a pirate parrot in it.
It was so good, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, the guy, I remember the cover very distinctly as this bearded man with what looked like a bad football helmet on and maybe a cybernetic eye going, Rrr. He looked very angry. He looked very angry.
He was a beardy.
Yes, he was a very beardy man. He looked very angry. But this is,
well, that's because you can't really make a lot of money in space piracy.
Well, the funny thing,
theoretically.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, for my review of Distant World Shadows, which is what got me thinking of this topic, I'm going to do a bad. I'm a bad pirate. I've never been a good pirate, so I'm going to play as a bad pirate because the last review I did for Distant Worlds, I played as like an admiral or a captain. So I'm going to kind of twist it around and play like a really nice pirate. And just going to see, just going to see. I'm thinking of calling it Paul the Polite Pirate, just to.
So it'd be more like a Robin Hood.
Eh.
In space.
I don't know about that. I don't know if you can do that in Distant Worlds. I don't know if you can get rob from the rich and give to anybody else but yourself. But
yeah.
I'll have to think about that. But piracy, yes. EVE Online is a great example of that because it lets anyone be douchebags. And when I was playing it, I got pirated a lot. And you know what? I don't mind that. I mean, piracy is going to be a part of space game, part of space travel.
Yeah, but
I think.
the pirates are kind of like the bottom feeders of the community there because, yeah, you can do some fun stuff with piracy, but
do not play
once
Eve
you get
now
your
after
record,
this. Do not play Eve now after this. You're going to be hunted,
well,
man.
Well, it's the thing of like you can have some fun as a pirate, but you get that on your record, and then no corporation wants you. Right?
So you join a pirate corporation.
I guess, but they don't really seem to get as big as like the big boy corporations, right? The guys that are attached to Goon Swarm and the people that fight them.
I don't
know. And it seems like they want you to be kind of honorable.
Yeah, I honestly
because they don't want somebody that's a pirate that's going to come in there and like as soon as they get their hands on a nice ship, they're going to steal it, you know, or they're going to rip off the treasury or whatever, right? So you hold them suspect because they were playing the game as kind of an asshole.
Now, let's not associate pirate with asshole. Let's not do that because I know some nice people who love playing pirates, just normal pirates. But
well, most of the ones that I knew in EVE were very griefy. They enjoyed the torment of the noobs.
Yeah, there is that element to the whole piracy thing. And maybe that's why I've never really played, like, unless the game is just about that, like, Independence War 2 comes to mind immediately. You're basically a pirate, and I never got far in that game for very...
Yeah, but then you're a pirate, but then you become, like, a paladin, right?
I think so.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you lead the galaxy to freedom or whatever.
Did you?
I don't know.
I don't either.
You haven't played it.
I'm just saying,
the storyline has to go, like, you get your revenge and stuff, and you probably do a lot of nice things for nice people.
I don't know.
Because that's how games work, right?
Maybe.
But except for when you're a pirate. No, but whenever you play single player, like, what games can you think of that let you single player be a pirate? Because there's, like, Privateer, things that are sandboxy, right?
Well, yeah, one of the career paths in X3, for example, is a pirate. Space Rangers 2, like, the more open games, usually. Like, Space Rangers 2, I think you could be a pirate if you wanted to be.
Yeah, but they don't gimp you for being a pirate. It's just that what factions will talk to you changes.
Yeah.
Right? So you kind of access different parts of the game. But does it make it harder? I would think. You know, that's like an additional difficulty slider. It's like, I don't want to be on the red or the blue. I want to be in the gray faction.
Yeah, and in X3, it says, like, there's a big disclaimer if you choose the pirate thing. Like, this is very hard, you know? This is insanely difficult. So I guess...
So I wonder if that's why people choose the pirate thing. It's because I don't want to be saddled with doing the goody-two-shoes stuff or doing, like, weirdly evil things just because I chose the bad guy faction. right? I just want to go and play the sandbox however I want to play it, so I'll be a pirate.
Yeah, but I'm still not understanding the appeal, you know? I mean, I know a lot of people do. I know a lot of people love playing pirate. It just doesn't appeal to me, man. I'm too nice a guy, you know? Like, I tried being a pirate in Distant Worlds. I sucked at it. I mean, you're supposed to raid and raid and hijack and raid, and I get it. But I was like, I felt like I needed to be a lot more aggressive, and it's just not me.
But see, like piracy back in the days of old, right? Because you would get everything I know from piracy I learned from Sid Meier. but it's like you weren't necessarily a pirate to everybody. You were just a pirate to the people that you were going to rob.
Yeah, like if you were like a French privateer, you were a pirate to the British and the Dutch and whatever. But to the French, you're a hero, which isn't saying much. Sorry, French people, I love you, but come on.
Can you be a ship captain and you want to have some guns on your freighter because you don't want to fly a tugboat around?
Yeah.
So you get some guns for self-defense, and then it's like, oh yeah, we happen to be at war with whatever faction, so I can just shoot them up and loot their ships and capture their stuff and keep it for my own, right? Because you get spoils of war, but you're not necessarily in the military. You're more like merchant marine.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know if any games are doing that quite that way, but that would be a good thing, like in a privateer kind of setting. Or we should call up Chris Roberts and ask him what he's going to do.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing, because we were going to bring him back on at some point. And we should ask, like, I should look it up, like, how you handle piracy. Because people are going to want to do that in Star Citizen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a hell of a faction for that. Because I think a lot of the EVE Online people play EVE. Well, there's some people that play EVE because they like EVE. And there's some people that play EVE because they want to play Star Citizen, but it hasn't existed yet. You know, but I think I see that potential there. There's a lot of people that are just like, well, this is like the best thing that there is, but it's not ultimately what I want. And what I really want is something more akin to like Privateer, where I actually grab my joystick and fly the ship and pew, pew, pew.
My brain is fuzzy, but I am remembering another older game where you could maybe some newer game where you could like contact a cargo ship and tell them to surrender their cargo. But I can't
remember. It's basically any of the, like, Evacron. You can do that in there.
Can you?
I
need to play that.
Yeah, it's basically any kind of sandbox allowing space game will allow you to do piracy stuff, because it's just like, do you decide to shoot at merchant ships? You know, they're green on the radar until you start shooting at them, and then you just change factions, right?
But you think that being a pirate should make things much more difficult? Like, you should start with...
I think you wouldn't have access to resources and friends that you would have if you went down the light or dark side of the...
That's true.
The games, yeah.
I'm just trying to remember what other games let you be a pirate, because I know they're out there. God. I just never choose that particular, you know, option. Like, there have been times where, like, I've accidentally shot at a freighter. Like, you pirate! We won't stand for this. I'm like, no, wait! And I'll save scum. And I hate doing that. But I'll save scum back to before I, like, left that particular port and shot that freighter. Because I just, you know what? No, I can't be a pirate. And I'm going to try it in Distant Worlds Legends, but I just don't think I'll do very well.
Well, then there's space pirates and zombies. But you're not really a pirate or a zombie.
You're kind of a scavenger.
Yeah, really. Which is different than pirates.
Yeah, well, is it? I mean, would you consider the folks in Firefly pirates? No, maybe.
Not really.
No, they were
because they don't. Scavengers. Because do they ever, like, shoot at another ship and then board them and steal their booty?
No.
Right, so they're not pirates.
No, they're not. I'll probably get lambasted for even suggesting such a blasphemous thing. But no, they're more scavengers, I guess. But there are games that give you like an option to be a scavenger and the option to be a pirate and the option.
Well, like Drifter, that one that you've been talking about that's coming out. That's going to allow space piracy.
Is it? That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I know that? I think my brain is not working. I should know that. I should know that. But I mean, do you ever like playing a pirate? Do you choose that option?
I haven't really done it because of the difficulty curve, and it's also a thing of generally what will happen is that they will. And there's this other game. It's called Pirate Galaxy at piratesgalaxy.com. It looks like one of those freemium MMO things, but interesting. But anyway, this actually looks kind of interesting. I think I'll be checking this out after the show. What the heck is this? Weird. Anyway, I don't often take it intentionally.
Right.
Sometimes I do something naughty and, you know, I end up a pirate, but I never delete the save from when I was a good guy, just in case, you know. So yeah. I'll go down the pirate path a little bit and see. But I usually lose horribly because at the difficulty curve, if you decide to go pirate too early, you really don't have the weaponry on your ship to deal with the penalties. And the penalties are usually swift and severe for, like, shooting at a friendly ship anywhere near a starbase.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Because the police come out and whoop your ass. Like, even in Elite, the original Elite, you could be a pirate.
Could you?
Yeah, totally. Just go around and start shooting up merchant ships till they drop their cargo. Arr, now you're a pirate.
You know, it's fine.
And then your faction goes down with the cops, and you go to the wrong stations, and they just, like, launch cops and start killing you.
Huh. I never knew you could do that. I never thought to shoot another ship that wasn't shooting at me first. So I guess I just don't have piracy in me.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I primarily would avoid it, though, is because when you're playing a sandbox game like that, it's kind of assumed, like, that if you play as the good guy, that's the intention that the designers had. But they let piracy be in there kind of like they tack on multiplayer sometimes. You know, it's sort of an afterthought, or it's just like, well, we'll let you do it. But you're on your own if you do that. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just going to be you against the AI, and you're hated everywhere. And now you're a scavenger and scum, right? But you lose access to all the story missions.
Right.
Seems to be the pattern that goes on. So if you want to experience the content that we have lovingly crafted for you as the player, then you better stick on the straight and narrow. Good. But then on the second playthrough of the game, just go hog wild, start shooting stuff up.
Couldn't you be a pirate and freelancer if you wanted to be?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that you could. But you'd just abandon the missions because, you know, that's the thing is, if you lose access to the factions that talk to you and hand you missions, right?
Yeah.
Then you the pipeline is cut off. So, but definitely, like, on the second playthrough, do what you want. Mm-hmm. Or if you're playing multiplayer where there is no story mode, then, you know.
Or a mod.
What can
they take that?
Yeah, or a mod. Yeah, it's what can you get away with? So I would like to actually hear from the people that listen to the show on this one. Of what they do. Do they play as the pirates? Have they had a good time doing it?
Yeah. I
think it would be very interesting if there was a space pirate game that the story of the game was actually you're a space pirate. It's not the optional thing. It's like this is the main story and we're going to write a really cool space pirate game.
That might be Independence War 2 for all we know, but we haven't played it.
We haven't played it enough.
I get to a point in that game where I'm like, oh, wait, I'm flying a puzzle, like a really annoying puzzle. Screw this. It's not like a puzzle like – it's not like a puzzle like X-Wing or TIE Fighter, which are puzzly. It feels like a much even more constrained puzzle, which is weird because it's supposed to be like an open game.
Yeah, so what's the deal? It's just like everything's too overpowered and you get there and just get eaten alive. So you have to figure out what the golden path is, and they don't really put any signposts up for you.
I don't remember. It's been so long. Like, the last time I tried that game was maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah. I've got the good old games version of it. I fired it up to make sure it works, and I haven't really got beyond that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally have the good old games version. Thank God they have that. But, yeah, I just I mean, it's a beautiful – it's still – even 10 years later or whatever – 12 years later now, it's still a gorgeous, gorgeous game. And I love what they're trying to do, but...
Would you be willing to actually donate a week of your life to playing that with me? we could just both fire up a campaign and correspond as far as we figure things out. Like, just keep the chat window open.
You mean like launch it in Steam so we have access to the overlay? That kind of thing?
Well, you got a single monitor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm multi-monitor, so I can chat while I play, or play it in a window or whatever. Yeah, I guess you could do it with the overlay or whichever, right? But I'm just thinking, like, we should or even, like, get on Skype or something and just chat while we play the thing, because, you know, maybe the two of us, we can penetrate that otherwise impenetrable.
I would
oldness.
Do that. I would do that. And what we should – I wish there was a way we could, like, record that, too. That'd be funny. That'd be record the video along with it, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Well, it could turn into a Let's Play, but we better figure out what we're doing first.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know that there's multiplayer in it.
I think there
maybe.
Is?
I don't know. We'll have to investigate.
God damn it. Yeah, no, we need to investigate, because there might be. God damn it. I don't remember. It's been so long.
I'll check it out. I will check it out, and I will let you know. I'll render a full report to you tomorrow.
Oh, I'm just.
And we'll figure out what we're doing, because it's interesting, and the game was. I liked Independence War 1.
Oh God!
But yes. Independence War 1 was kind of puzzly too, right?
But it was because much more linear, like, and it had this amazing story.
Well, it wasn't a puzzle about what you're supposed to do. It was more like an X-Wing style puzzle of this is coming at me. How do I solve it?
But there were puzzly missions in there, if I recall.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. The puzzle was not to find the mission. The puzzle was to complete the mission.
Right.
You know, but there was a lot of space, because X-Wing and TIE Fighter happen inside of a bottle, right? It's just like nothing will happen that does not show up on your map right in this area of space that you're in. But in Independence War, shit would warp away. You know, there would be something elsewhere, and you'd have to, like, go there, and you don't know what you're really warping into, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I remember, like, one mission where you flew in, and there was a starbase that was in the process of exploding, and you had to go rescue people.
Yeah.
But while you're rescuing people, you had to launch the fighter that was attached to your ship, and you could fly the fighter by remote control.
Oh,
and
that
you're trying
was crazy.
To shoot down
easy. While you're, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah,
that was tough. And if you screw it up, it's like start over.
I'm looking at the GOG page for Independence War 2. Oh, it just says single player.
Oh, unfortunate. I bet their forums have a nice walkthrough, or at least
you know what we should do. Boom.
Huh.
Google Hangout.
Yeah, that would work.
We'll do a Google Hangout. I can't do it this way. But yeah, we'll do a Google Hangout where one of us will play the game and the other one will watch and go, no, do that, no, do that. That was a lot of fun with Kerbal Space Program. I don't know if you saw that, but that was hilarious.
Yeah. So what does it take to actually project your screen over the Google Hangout? Do you just tell Google, like, just show my screen?
Yeah, there's a screen share function.
Oh.
Very simple.
Is it pretty respectful of, like, 3D graphics and such?
I mean, yeah, if you watched it, you saw Kerbal running, and there was Distant Worlds doesn't really have 2D graphics. But this game is old enough that it should it's came out in 2001, so I can't imagine it wouldn't run well with Google.
Well, it's basically just can their capture engine catch the screen frame buffer at, like, 30 frames a second?
It seemed to do a pretty good job with Kerbal. So I'm going to hope it does a good job with this, but we'll have to try it. I mean,
yeah, it's worth a shot.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it'll be a good time. We should definitely try it. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. That'll be a fun Let's Play. I think
I'll guide you to make all the wrong choices. I'll just be like, yeah, it says in the strategy guide, man, you're, like, supposed to shoot that guy.
Okay. Son of a
bitch. I lied.
No, people, I really like this idea. We should definitely do this. Yes.
It'll be like a Let's Play Backseat Driver edition.
That's what I was doing with Nicole with TIE Fighter. People love that. So
yeah,
we'll do a Let's Play video of Independence War 2, trying to penetrate the edge of chaos, as the subtitle is known.
Sweet.
Oh, it's got dynamically created space traffic. Okay, there's that word, dynamically.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that I really liked about it, was that it gave you a feel of like it was like Microsoft Flight Simulator in space, right? Because it would have like all this airport traffic that was just procedurally generated. And yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was very, very cool about that game.
Yeah, but what we should... Okay. Yeah, I'll load it up and we'll figure out who's going to play. Perfect.
All right.
Kinda, I want to do it if you don't mind. I want to be the joystick guy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, awesome. We'll do this. So
I want to be the saboteur.
Okay, so folks, you heard it here first. Jim and I are going to, together using Google Hangout, try and play. And I guess what we can do is, since we have to do it live, so it'll go to YouTube and everything.
Yeah, we could just announce
it. We can just tell people we're going to do it and then be like, oh, come on. And you could monitor the chat window and say no and tell what people are doing, because I only have
– Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be perfect. Because you have
that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, let's do that. Crowdsourced Independence War 2. There you go. Maybe we'll finally figure out why being a pirate is appealing. We'll play that game because you gotta have to be a pirate, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn your back on the corporations. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Let's try that.
Okay. So what other games can you play as a pirate
in? I'm trying to think. Evercron, I think you're right about that. Because, I mean, to be a pirate, you have to find... Okay, there's a series of space games, and there's one called, like, Space Truths, the latest iteration of this. It's like 2D... I guess a game like Smugglers would also let you do this, like the Smugglers game, where it's like a 2D thing. You pick a planet to go to, and as you're flying there, you have random encounters. Oh, there's a merchant, or there's a pirate. And, like, do you fight the pirate or do you flee? Do you fight the merchant or do you ignore it? You know? And I guess in that case, oh, you're a merchant. Do you fire on it? And then I guess you could become – it's like – what do they call it? Like Space Trader? Like there was one called Drug Wars. It's kind of like the space version of that. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's been several iterations of that thing.
It's Trade Wars.
Yeah, Trade Wars, something like that. But there's been like several iterations. Like there's – what?
You're going to have to put this in the show notes.
What?
Oh, my God. I was Googling – space pirate games.
Oh no!
Right?
Oh no! So did you find porn? Else.
No, but porn will find a way.
It always does.
Here, I just sent you a link in your Steam thing.
Okay, what is this?
What is
this? Kerbal Space Pirate Program?
Yes.
What?
Play.
Okay, it's playing Kerbal Space Pirate Program. Oh God! They put a pirate ship on the top. How did they get a pirate ship at the top?
I don't know, man. That's talent. Somebody made that.
How did they get? Oh my goodness! And it's launching.
Will it fly?
There's nothing aerodynamic about a three-masted sailing vessel. Wow, it's getting there though. We'll put this in the show notes, folks.
Oh yeah, that is hilarious.
Oh my. Okay, no, it's in orbit. Okay, we have a. Okay, there is a pirate ship in orbit now. That's. Oh, and it has solar sails.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
Oh my God, they have two of them.
Oh my God,
there.
And the solar panels open up and there's sails.
Oh,
that's a thing of beauty!
Wow! Oh, see?
Oh my God, it's got cannons.
It
on
does
the side.
Have cannons. It's playing that music from Die Hard that I can never remember the name of.
This is perhaps the greatest thing I've ever seen on YouTube.
It is a It is a minute 42 of sheer genius, people. We will definitely be putting this in the show notes. I don't know if you guys can hear the music through either of our headphones, but
no, I've got mine turned off and I don't hear yours. So
this is glorious. Yeah.
That is a thing of beauty. Hey man, how come no space pirate games like this? I mean, so there was an RPG game on like PlayStation 2 that was some kind of pirate thing. What the heck was that? Rogue Galaxy, was it? Yes.
Yeah. I've had people tell me I should play that game. People have told me I would love
it. It's like an anime space pirate, galleons in space. Oh my gosh, what was that game that we were talking, was it Denny was telling us about? Or no, somebody was telling us about this game, and it was actually a Disney property.
Treasure Planet?
Was that it?
You're not a pirate in that game, I don't think.
No, but it's like galleons in space,
right?
Yeah,
that's exactly what that is. Treasure Planet Battle at Procyon. Yeah, Those are made by the people who eventually went on to make Sword of the Stars, apparently.
Because it was when we were talking to the Sword of the Stars.
Yeah, Paul.
Okay,
another,
yeah.
Paul. Is it Paul? Paul? Yes, Paul. Why do I keep thinking Paul? Oh, my God, Paul. So many goddamn Pauls. And wait. Okay, the Void Destroyer guy is Paul, so I had Paul right. Okay, so I'm not just going crazy. It's a Paul-tastic show tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
We should just call each other Paul from now on. And everybody that comes on the show is Paul. Next week, we're going to have Paul on from... hey, what is that game next week?
Void Destroyer.
Yes.
Come on, Paul. Get with it.
Destroy Void.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
This is going to be the bad shittiest podcast we've ever done.
This is what happens when we don't have guests.
or the barest threat of a topic. Because I love it. Because I had some topics already in hand. I sent you an email. You're like, that one. Whatever.
Okay. Yep. Space pirates. Because, like, who couldn't do that, right?
Oh my God!
Oh my gosh!
We should have got. I thought we should have gotten someone on who's like more pro pirate than, because I'm not pro pirate, and I got a feeling you're not pro pirate.
Well, I just, like I told you, I avoid it because I want the factions to talk to me so that I can see what the heck the story is in the game, right?
See, I avoid it because I'm just a nice guy. I get into what I'm playing, and I'm like, oh no, that ship I shot at it. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
But that's cool. But see, it would be enabling if it was a Robin Hood kind of experience, where it's just like, you know what? I'm a pirate, but those guys are kind of douchebags, and it's okay because they got it coming to them.
It's true,
right? So, like, if you're robbing like rich empire ships, like think Star Wars. If you were a pirate, but you're screwing around with like Trade Federation ships or the Empire or whatever,
right,
and giving the money to the rebels. Well, you know, then okay, fine. Right? Well, you know, that's a thing where you could play a pirate was in Star Wars Galaxies.
Really? Could you?
You could kind of be a little space pirate-ish. Yeah, if you were like with the Hutt faction.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. That's once they added spaceships to the game, right?
Right. Which wasn't great, but yeah. It was better than nothing. The thing was, though, there was Hayden Blackwell, whatever his name was, that was developing the game at the beginning. I remember seeing it at Star Wars Celebration in we were in like Indianapolis, right? And he showed this thing off, and it was pre-release, and they were showing the space combat then, and it took that long for it to come into the game.
That's mind-boggling.
Yep, I mean, I saw that game probably 8 months before it released.
Well, that's weird, because
it was just the space combat was there. There was a guy in a B-wing shooting at a Star Destroyer.
That's crazy.
And then they landed and got out and ran around in the Star Destroyer. And it was like, this is awesome.
That's awesome.
But it took, you know, how many years? Like 4 years?
That's crazy because Jumpgate didn't have the running around, but it was around well before that. And it had well fleshed out, mature. That was another game where you could be a pirate. And since that game was skill-based, being a pirate was probably interesting in that game because you had to actually be able to hit your target.
Yeah. So, anywho, other than that, the only stuff that I can think of is, like, the top-down, Space Rogue on the Commodore.
I never that kinda played that. I heard that.
Yeah, it was an old Origin game.
Yeah. I love the cover for it, the guy with the leather jacket and the scarf, I think, and the glasses,
yeah.
And the big aviator, you know, glasses.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of, like, other games that are like, top-down. But really, it's not piracy. It's just sort of sandbox.
Yeah, right? Focusing.
It's like you can be a trader, you can be a pirate, you can be a whatever you want to be. But it's not. Yeah, there's very few things that are just like yo ho ho and a bottle of space rum. This is a pirate sim.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's fun.
It would be an interesting thing to be able to do in like Star Trek Online.
Yeah,
although I think if you played Klingons,
yeah,
you'd totally be a Klingon pirate or something, or just, you know, have neutral faction ships that you could get.
Well, that game, there was already Orion Pirates, but if I haven't really played much of it, but I don't think it's like really serious pirate missions in that one.
No,
it's more like intrigue and shit, right? More like
yeah. Well, everything about that game is kind of milquetoast. It's just I can't love it, man. It's honestly, I would much rather be made to play EVE Online than Star Trek Online.
Ouch, man.
That game's deadly. But, well, it's okay when you're in space.
No, no, I was talking about Starfleet Command. I'm sorry. I was talking about Starfleet Command.
Oh, yeah, pirates. Yeah. You know, I cannot get that to run.
Oh.
Can't do it. I'm going to have to build, like, a virtual machine or something running Windows 98 or something. But I just cannot get it to run.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't for lack of trying. I dug my old CD out. Then I downloaded it from somewhere and like couldn't get it to launch there. You know, the thing that's trouble is I couldn't even get the installer to run.
That's
the problem. So maybe if I could get it installed, or if I could find if somebody had it installed and then zipped up the folder, and then I could mess around with like poking the values into the registry or something, because I think that game was kind of registry dependent. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have any luck with it, that was for sure. I hate it when I run into stuff like that. And that'll be one of those topics that you had on the list, you know, was the how to get old games running. And it's like, well, stuff under DOSBox, there's some specific settings about that.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the and we could talk about getting a Glide wrapper so that your modern video card can actually handle 1990s high tech.
Yeah, we just haven't had the time to put that together. I know I haven't. I don't think you have.
Yeah, because it would basically be like I have to assemble a list of games and then get them all to work and document the process.
Yeah, which we'll take.
You know, I'd want to do it for real. So that would be kind of, yeah.
Maybe we should do like a part one, like we do like five games and just figure it out.
Yep. Hey, so in non-space game news,
yeah.
The Marvel Superheroes MMO.
You've been dying to talk about this. You've been talking about this all day.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I went to the page on Steam, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to buy the DLC? And I'm like, oh, there's day one DLC. Because it's a freemium RPG, right? And the classes that are in it are directly out of City of Heroes, it looks like. Because they even call them the same thing. It's like you can be a controller, or you can be a brawler, or you can be a blaster, right? But they let you play the initial characters. You know, you have to pick like somebody, and it's Storm and Hawkeye. I think like Scarlet Witch is in there, and the Thing, right? So it's like the third or fourth string guys that barely have their own comic book. You know, it's like. They're there because they're on a team, right? And it's like the team would go on without them, but they couldn't exist without the team kind of guys. So they give you those for free. You get to pick one. And then what's interesting, though, is they don't use the concept. Well, almost they do. They have their internal space bucks, right? Like the Xbox, where the Xbox, it's really like $10 gets 800 points or whatever. So if it's or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. But it's like 1,600 points is really a $20 game. But you have to, you know, it's space math that you have to do with their space bucks. These guys are a point is a penny. So if the guy costs 900 points, it's $9. All right. So it makes the translation really quick. So I'm looking at the DLC, and you have to basically pay per hero. Like if you want to play as Iron Man, that's $20 because it's 2,000 points. And if you want him to be in a different costume, his costumes are $12 each.
So this is a massively multiplayer Diablo-style game with Marvel?
Yes, yes. You can play as Wolverine and any of the X-Men seem to be in the game. I don't know that they're all selectable. The Avengers are all there. You know, they're present, but whether they're currently playable or not. Yeah. But I see that you can play as the Hulk. You can play definitely as Captain America, Iron Man, Storm, you know, there's a few that I'd mentioned earlier. Yeah, so like some of the heavy hitters are in there. You can play as Cable, you know. But the best, it's almost worth $12 to me to run around in the Marvel equivalent of Jar Jar Binks as freaking Rocket Raccoon. Because nobody's going to pony up $12 to run around as Rocket Raccoon unless they're a troll like me.
I'm so confused by this. I mean,
well, it's a thing of it's a freemium game, all right. And yeah. The people out there that are into freemium games, especially those that are employed by the industry, you know who I'm talking to. but those people, they're like, but dude, it's $20 and you would pay $15 for a subscription. And it's like, okay, I understand that. That's fine. But what was shocking to me about it, and I don't have a problem. If I'm having fun playing the game, I give myself a personal limit of $20 a month. I will not blow more than $20 a month across all my freemium games.
Right. Sure.
Because it's the same as having that monthly fee that you'd have a subscription. So, okay, that's fine. And I do. I spend some money in there for things that don't really exist, because I'm having fun playing the game and I don't mind supporting it. But the thing that was shocking to me, it just made my hair stand up. It gave me sticker shock, there's a button in Steam that says, add all DLC to cart, $250 on day one. If I click that button, I'm $250 invested into Marvel Diablo.
So
I was shocked.
So basically, I'm looking at the Avengers pack. So for $84.99, you get.
Yep, there's three of them, and they're $84. Well, they're $179, but whatever. They're $85.
Yeah, you get four heroes: Captain America, cool; Iron Man, cool; Hulk, cool; Mrs. Marvel, and then you get eight costumes and 10 fortune cards for $80. I mean, what does?
The fortune cards. The fortune cards are like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon cards. Okay, when you open the thing up, then God, there's another side story about that. Remind me to talk about opening cards. But there's basically you buy cards, and a card is $1. All right, and it's a random roll of the dice. What you get, it's playing the scratch off lottery, $1 at a time in the game. Totally.
What?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'll throw $1 at it. Scratch. Oh, I got like this piece of equipment. Or, holy crap, I hit the jackpot. I unlocked a $20 hero for $1. All right, the odds are there. You could do it. But yeah, it's totally. It's a dollar slot machine that gives you something in the game. You might only get a health potion, but you get something for your dollar. But yeah, totally. It's an interesting concept. I'm going to be following this game, because I'm very curious about how well it does.
So, if you don't buy anything, who do you play in the game?
You will play as one of those like third string losers, basically. The Thing, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye. Yeah, I played as Hawkeye. It's your fault too, because you put that post up on Facebook about Arrow, about how you had a tear in your beer after watching Arrow.
Hey, that was amazing. Do you watch Arrow at all?
No, I have seen it. I don't know. That's one of those things where I'm going to wait for the whole run of it to be out, and then I'll mass consume it, like a season and a weekend kind of show.
That's fair.
If I like it.
That's fair. It's weird, because I did not think the show was going to go where it went, and it went farther than I thought it was going to go.
So where has it gone?
Oh, I can't tell you without spoiling it, but let's just say...
So is it dark?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
because it was a deal like he was on an island for a while, right? And it was kind of like he got Lara Croft style Tomb Raider skills while he was on this island. And I didn't really – was the island full of pirates?
Kind of. More like ninjas. But yeah, sure.
So it was Ninja Island.
Kind of, yeah. Right. It's kind of how he learned his mad skills.
So, but was he a ninja with the ninjas on the island?
No.
He was running scared from the ninjas.
He was running scared from the ninjas.
So it's almost kind of a Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, I've always looked at the Green Arrow as kind of a more smart-assy Batman that shoots bows and arrows.
Yeah, with a bow.
Yeah. But in this show,
is he, like, prone to killing dudes?
He doesn't want to, but he can't. He has.
Well, I mean, okay, like in the comic book, he always has a bunch of trick arrows, right? And they stun him.
Oh, no, he's killed people. This guy has killed people. And people die in the show, and, like, major characters die. And, like the city is physically changed by the end of the season.
Oh, weird.
Like, that shit goes seriously down. And I was like, whoa, they went there. And... So, yeah, I was worried that it might be like Smallville, but it's nothing like Smallville.
Yeah, I was getting a big WB vibe from it.
Well, yeah, of course, but it's not like Smallville at all. It's so much These guys know they're ridiculous, and they kind of run with it. And it's funny. Yeah, it's entertaining, and they do a good job.
Okay, because it seemed like in the first like two episodes that I watched or whatever, it was all like rich people intrigue, you know, and like, well, so and so bought the corporation, and
it opens whatever, up a bit
while you were gone. But, okay, thank God, yeah. Because it was like 90210.
No,
with,
it's
like executives.
No, I wouldn't have kept something. Watching it if it stayed like that.
Okay, because that's pretty deadly. My wife watches that show. Was it called Revenge? Or whatever. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I've heard
it's like some girl. It's like some girl and her dad went to prison because he got set up by some people in the Hamptons or whatever, and then he got killed. But like his dying thing was to like send her this box that had information that told her who really did it, and it was these rich people in the Hamptons, right? So she has like infiltrated their community. And it's the mind games of like, well, I'm going to marry the son of the evil bitch to get to her to, you know, so I'll get engaged, but disengaged, but that'll buy me access into the family where, you know, I can spy on them or whatever. And then like for some ninja guy comes out of nowhere, like seriously, he's a fairly commonly seen Japanese ninja actor guy that shows up in these things. And, but it's like, oh God, him, you know? I mean, it's like the ninja equivalent of having like Pat Morita show up, right? And he's like, you know, I will train you, Neo, to know kung fu.
Oh God!
And it's just like, oh my God! And the show is getting so absurd, and I'm just so like whenever I first saw Arrow, I was just like, oh God, it's another one of those because it had the same vibe. Like the camera shots were the same and everything, well, yeah, and I'm like, oh God, those same people.
It's a comic book show, and it knows it's a comic book show.
Well, that's okay.
Though, yeah, exactly.
Because like Avengers was a comic book movie, and it knew,
exactly.
And it did
that's
it
why,
quite that, well.
That's why Arrow works, because it knows it's a comic book show. It knows it's ridiculous, and yet it stays within the boundaries of that world. So
does it pull the comic book bullshit like Smallville did, of like, oh, here's Lex Luthor, but not in the form that you know him. You know, this is like Lex Luthor before he became all those things. It's, you know, it's a giant origin story.
Kind of, sort of. This is an origin story, but it of sorts. Like, there are flashbacks to, like, the island. And, like, you see some characters before they become, like, the Huntress is on there. But you see her before she becomes the Huntress. But she becomes the Huntress in that episode. So it doesn't, like, fuck around, you know. So it's like, oh, she's the Huntress now. So it's
they don't have anybody running around with DC names like Molecule Lad.
No.
And,
no. You know,
that's why I always had like trouble with DC. Who was Green Arrow's sidekick? Didn't he have like a
– I don't remember.
He had a little Bucky for a while.
I don't remember. It's probably before my time.
Yeah. So, do you remember when Superman used to launch a little mini-me out of his hands?
No.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. We'll put it in the show notes. There was an era of Superman where he would actually launch a little mini Superman that would go and do things. Yeah, it was terrible. Because Josh, we did the Bad Movie Show last night, right? And Josh is just like, oh, I'm so stoked, man. I'm so stoked for Superman. Did you see the latest trailer? And he makes me watch the trailer. And I'm like, do you remember when Superman used to launch a little mini-me?
I'm excited about that movie, too. But no, I do not remember that.
It looks very interesting because it looks like Zod is showing up with an army.
Yeah.
It's not, he was in the Phantom Zone, you know, him and the girl and the like dumb strong guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is campy enough on its own, but that's kind of, you know, yeah. So I read the prequel comic. The prequel comic was pretty weird because it was like way before Krypton was going to be destroyed or anything.
Right.
And I'm not a Superman historian. I don't know any of this junk. So, but anyway, she was like the cousin of Superman or something. And so, you know, I showed it to Josh, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's Supergirl." Like as soon as he saw her name, he's like, "Oh yeah, that's Supergirl." So what the deal was in the prequel comic was that Zod was a punk, and he stowed away aboard Supergirl's space explorer because she was like in the Space Rangers or something, and they went out because Krypton sent out, it was like Starfleet, right? They sent out a bunch of ships on their 5-year mission to explore, and Zod stowed away on her ship because she turned him in for being an asshole or something. You know, yeah. So anyway, he basically put her in suspended animation or something and like stole the ship.
Oh wow.
And I was thinking, well, that's going to explain, are they really going to have Supergirl in this thing or what? And then I watched the trailer and it's completely different from that. So I don't think this is like a J.J. Abrams Star Trek where half the movie's backstory is actually in the comic books, which you better have read or you will be confused as shit in the theater. You know, I don't know if you ever read the comics for the 2009 Star Trek movie.
No, I didn't.
But they totally explained what Nero's ship was, why it was all Borged out and everything. That was all in the comic books. What that red matter was, Everything about Spock's relationship with the – oh, yeah. It was huge in the comic books. And I read the comics. I saw the movie, and I was just like, that made no sense. And then somebody said, oh, no, dude, it was all in the comic books. So I hunted them down. And it was like, oh, my God, it really was.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But I just think it was kind of a disservice, right? Like maybe 0.1% of people walking into the theater actually understood any of the backstory of what led up to the events in that movie.
It didn't matter. It was still a fun movie.
Yeah. Have you seen the new one?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Still. Well, we're going too soon.
Let me tell you. Yeah. It's all right.
I know. So Marvel Heroes. You told me who's the first people you get to play for free, but I can't find that list anywhere. It's like they don't know.
You create an account and go in. Well, you don't really want to tell people, you know, who your bench warmers are, do you?
Yeah, because it says collect Iron Man and Thor, but it's not saying you have to pay for that. It's
yeah.
Like, and if you go to the actual website.
Well, I wonder if their loophole on that is you can find those cards in the game.
I would hope so.
Find it enough. You can find those cards, and there might be like 0.1% chance that you'll unlock Thor.
I would hope so. You know, yeah. I mean, because
you should be able to send in box tops or something from your post toasties. And
okay, let's see. Who are some of the? Okay, there's Rocket Raccoon. I see him. Scarlet Witch. Miss Marvel. Whatever. Luke Cage. Come on. Okay, I like Deadpool. I've always enjoyed Deadpool, so maybe. Who the hell is
I thought Deadpool was a bad guy.
He is a bad guy.
Well, how come he's like got an Avengers outfit?
I don't know.
Wasn't he like – he was the guy that was created to kill Wolverine, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Black Panther looks like Batman. But anyway.
Oh, he is totally. Oh. He's the Marvel Batman.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
Oh, except that he's got magic.
Oh, wow. Oh, Emma Frost. What? Okay, Squirrel Girl? Who the fuck is that?
Holy shit, they've got Squirrel Girl?
Yeah.
Wait, is she in one of the DLC packs
or
something?
I don't know.
What are you looking at? Are you on their website?
Yeah, I'm looking at their website.
Dude, I'm in for Squirrel Girl.
Doreen Green, power is super adorability. That's what this is saying.
Dude, I'll play Rocket Raccoon and you can play Squirrel Girl and we'll get married in the game.
We'll be dropped as
totally
loot.
Okay. We'll have like...
This hero is dropped as loot. That's really nice. So she's an object. Oh my God. What? She has single-handedly beat Dr. Doom, Mandarin, MODOK, and Thanos. What?
Squirrel Girl?
That's what this is saying.
Dude, what do they even need the rest of the Avengers for? They got Squirrel Girl.
Apparently she's
Holy
so cute.
Crap.
Apparently she's so cute.
She beats him with charisma because charisma is not a dump stat.
Yeah, apparently that's how cute she is. She's just that fucking...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They're checking out her tail.
And she will be dropped as loot. Yes.
She just wants your nuts. What? Holy crap. It is Squirrel Girl.
She has a tail. I'm not making any of this up. I'm looking right at her.
She's a little fuzzy.
So this is...
Name's Doreen Green.
Yeah, this is not the best implementation of free-to-play I've seen. I don't know if it's worse than Star Wars The Old Republic, but it's up there. I would say it's up there.
Oh, God. This is going in the show notes. What the crap? This is like some kind of prehistoric saber-toothed squirrel.
But she's hot. She's got, you know.
Oh, God.
She has boobs.
What?
Apparently.
Herbs. Herbs.
She has.
Oh, God. Here, look at this picture. That's going in the show notes.
Oh, wait. Wait. What? What did you just... Oh, my God. Oh, you did a Google search for Squirrel Girl and got this.
That is amazing.
It's a mean looking squirrel.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Squirrel Girl. Oh God, this is even better.
No,
Squirrel Girl was made for cosplay conventions. That's what this is.
I wouldn't know who that would be if I saw. I wouldn't know who that was if before today. If
No, check this guy. Well, the guy with the Dr. Octopus getup is
that's
awesome.
But yeah, there's Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, nice tail.
Very nice tail.
You never go full furry.
Oh no,
never.
But oh god, this is we've wandered. We've wandered way off the reservation at this point.
So here's the thing though. In these superhero games, what I enjoy in a superhero game is making my own guy.
Mm.
I don't want to see. There was a lot of resistance in City of Heroes and Champions and those games that came before this, where they were like, "We don't want you to make Wolverine, and you know, we don't have licenses for that stuff. Don't make the Hulk. If you look like the Hulk, we must delete your character."
Mm.
Right? So don't be that. Here, you have no choice but to be the Hulk. Or Iron Man, or whatever. So whenever I logged into the game, there's like 15 Scarlet Witches standing there.
That's what I was wondering about. You know? Like, and I'm, do you have like 20 Captain Americas in a room? I mean,
exactly.
That's ridiculous.
So it's kind of but it's Diablo, right? It's just like each character is a class or a type of character that plays a little differently. So I think maybe.
I don't even...
They get different equipment, because I noticed, like, I was picking up bows for Hawkeye, and then I'd pick up shields, and it was like, only Captain America can use those.
So buy Captain America.
So, yeah, $20.
Now, if they made a Freedom Force online, I might be there.
Yeah, well, this is probably as close as you're going to get to that. I liked Freedom Force.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, those are wonderful.
So, hey, speaking of Freedom Force and... That would be, of course, Irrational, and then coming back to XCOM with Ken Levine.
Yeah. What did he have to do with XCOM?
Well, the new XCOM is coming out of Irrational, isn't it? XCOM the Bureau?
Oh, the Bureau? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like a tactical third-person shooter. But they took the combat from Mass Effect, basically. It looks like Mass Effect with... some XCOM going on in it, because you can pause the game and then tell the guys in your squad, like, you go hide behind that box and you shoot that alien over there, and then you unpause the game and they do their thing. And it's set in like the 50s, right? But it's that Buck Rogers-y kind of like futurist 50s where, you know, chrome crap and cars with wings.
Kind of like,
you know, retro future.
What was that one XCOM game, Apocalypse?
Yeah, kind of like that. But this is in Apocalypse. It was like the world had been altered by the alien technology.
Yeah.
This is actually first contact. It was like, we've got the Bureau, and they're wondering. There's like UFOs and stuff, and they're like, is it the commies? You know, that kind of thing. So it's almost like your FBI guys that get sent out, and then you find out it's aliens, and they're like, holy crap, we need to form a special division of, you know, XCOM. President Truman has authorized. Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, totally. I'm down with it, man. It looks good. It looks like it'll be very interesting, and I don't care if it's not XCOM canon, you know, whatever, because we've got that game. And gosh, there's a lot of clones of the original XCOM that are coming out, right? Like, there's one that's on Steam right now. It's like Xenonauts or whatever, $20.
Oh, that's been around for ages.
Yeah, but they finally got the thing in the pre-release, whatever, the early access. Yeah.
I'm just still shocked at the Squirrel Girl nonsense.
I'm going to totally start a fan site for Squirrel Girl. This is crazy. I had no idea that this existed, and now I am her biggest fan.
Squirrel Girl World? That's what you have to call it, Squirrel Girl World. Oh, what are you sending me now? Love of Jesus.
This is awesome.
Oh, my God.
That should be the title of the show tonight. Will be Squirrel Girl.
For the love of Squirrel Girl, that will be the.
It's kind of squirrely.
Kind of squirrel.
Protect your nuts, Squirrel Girl's okay, up in the house.
No.
Mm. So I wonder if she's going to show up on Arrow.
No, it's Marvel. Arrow's DC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, like I said, they already had the Huntress, and they're setting up Black Canary through little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't.
So
and
Black Canary, is she basically like Black Widow?
No, sort of.
So she's not some kind of super spy that.
No, she's more of a like a ninja with and ninja-esque, but she has this like sonic boom voice thing that can knock people.
And so she like yells and stuns people.
Yeah, and they've already had a few. They've had Deadshot on there, and I'm trying to remember who else they've had on.
But see, but they don't have them in their recognizable form, right?
No,
they're not in a costume.
No,
see them in the outfit, and you're like, "That's Black Canary."
No,
because
no, they're different. They're more realistic outfits, which I like. And they've already mentioned like Bloodhaven, which is where Nightwing hangs out. That's his city. So like, that's kind of cool. They'll probably never mention Gotham.
Because I was going to say, well, if they got Nightwing, then that implies Batman.
I think Batman would be too huge for a TV show like this.
He would dominate the show. If Batman showed up, that it would become the Batman
Like, at
show.
One point, they might mention Bruce Wayne in passing. But that I bet you that'll be the farthest they go, is mentioning Bruce Wayne somewhere, like Wayne Tech. They might even not mention Bruce Wayne. They might just mention Wayne Tech, you know?
Yeah. So, funny thing, though, on the movie that we did last night, because it has Star Trek relationships and Batman. So, the guy, I cannot remember his name, that directed the movie last night, I will look it up because I'm dedicated like that.
What was the movie?
It was called Arcade, and it's from 1993.
Oh, that. You showed me that. Yes, with John DeLancey.
Yes, sir.
Little Q. Who looked more annoyed than usual? Like he
did. He phoned it in on that one, man. He was hardly in it. There was a thing at the beginning of the movie where he had he had the greatest fourth wall breaking eye roll that was ever. Like the computer, the one kid was like, "These video games suck," and then you hear like the computer voice from the evil video game be like, "Try telling that to my face." And John DeLancey walks in. This is the first time you see him, right? And he's like, "So scary," like just rolls his eyes back.
Like, "Can I get my check, please? I have a house payment."
Exactly. Yeah. Oh God, it was funny. And he's like, "Come in here, kids. I'm going to show you something that'll blow a hole in your shorts." It was. He had quotes, quotable lines.
Oh yes. God. Yeah, that looked bad. But yeah, so we're all over the place tonight. This is what happens.
We are.
This is what happens when we don't have a guest. That's kind of entertaining. At least I hope it's entertaining. It better be entertaining. I'm sorry if it's not, folks. I'm sorry.
Something's terribly wrong with with my internet. I can't find this movie. It's like it got scrubbed off the internet.
Well, your internet's still working because we're still talking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, let's see. Oh, Arcade. There it was because it was a video thing. All right, so it was directed by Albert Pyun, right?
How does that
it was
make
written
sense?
By Charles Band and David S. Goyer. So the trick, Charles Band was like the guy that wrote Robot Jocks and all those awesome movies that were Full Moon stuff. But David S. Goyer is a very, very interesting man because he wrote Arcade, right, in 93. He did Sleepwalkers, which was kind of bad, Freaky Lynx, right? He did Blade 2, Blade Trinity.
Oh, what?
Blade the series on TV.
Oh, I like Blade.
He was executive producer at Ghost Rider.
Oh, I like Ghost Rider.
And executive producer of Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, which I still think is an excellent movie.
I've not seen the second one. I want to because I really like the
first one. It was bad, but it was an awesome bad, right? It was a very fun bad movie. And then he was also a writer in... Let's look. Golly, Man of Steel, coming out this year.
Oh,
he wrote it.
He wrote it?
He wrote it, yes.
Okay.
He also wrote Dark Knight Rises.
Which I haven't seen.
He wrote, he was a writer on Call of Duty Black Ops. He wrote Demonic Toys,
what?
Personal Demons. He wrote The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, wow.
Right? Batman Gotham Knight, whatever that
what the
is.
The hell is that?
It's an 8. He wrote Jumper. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Have you seen Jumper?
No, but I've heard things.
It was not entirely bad. So Batman Begins, Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys. This guy's all over the place, man.
Ooh.
He wrote awesome things, and he wrote terrible things. He wrote Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. the TV movie in 1998.
David Hasselhoff? Starred
Hoff. The Hoff.
I watched that movie.
Holy crap. That is awesome.
I used to be something of a Hoff fan. Mostly because of Knight Rider.
Who's not? I mean, you're German, right?
I'm German enough. Yes.
There it is.
I've got enough German in me.
There it is. You cannot resist. Oh, yeah, and he wrote The Crow, City of Angels.
Which I didn't
see. Wow. So it's amazing. That's what I like about doing the movie show, right, is because I'll go into something and it's just like, this is the most terrible, most painful movie ever. And then you look at the careers of the people that were around it and the actors. Actors just do, you know, whatever work they can get, right? So I look at not so much the actors that are in it. I look at who's behind the scenes, whose faces didn't you see? Like, who did the effects? Who did the music? Who wrote it? Who produced it? Who did the casting? That kind of stuff. And when you play connect the dots behind the scenes like that, oh my, you see weird stuff like this. Because this guy has basically touched like all the good superhero movies that were on the DC side. He doesn't have anything on the Marvel stuff.
Dark Knight Rises was good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Batman Begins.
He wrote Batman Begins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in all of those, all of the... Oh, yeah, actually, Blade is a Marvel character, right?
So, I think so.
So he did.
I like Blade.
And Nick Fury.
Oh.
Oh, he wrote the screenplay for Dark City. How about that? He got that close to Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, I hate him. I love that movie, but I hate him.
So there you go.
Okay, that could mean Man of Steel could either be amazing...
Or bad.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll find out soon, like in 2 weeks. It's out in 2 weeks. Oh my god!
Yeah, it is pretty close, isn't it?
Like the 15th, wow. I think. Maybe.
I'm just waiting on Pacific Rim.
Oh god, yes. Yes. And did I tell you I saw Fast and Furious 6?
No.
My first Fast and Furious movie. It's the first one I've ever
really?
Seen.
Really? Does it give you the urge like you have to go consume them all now?
I'm having a movie day in July where we're going to watch all the other five, yes. In one day because I need to see them now. I need to see them.
So it was the safe chase. Is that what did it for you?
It wasn't a safe chase. It was a chase, but it wasn't a – they were chasing – I don't even remember what they were chasing. It doesn't matter.
Wasn't it like they were dragging a safe behind the cars? That was in one of them. Maybe I'm giving you
maybe
spoilers.
That was the last one. Last one was a heist, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now this one,
I haven't seen the last
one. This one has tanks and jet planes and The Rock, and I love The Rock. I'm a fan of his. So we should call this tonight because we're all over the place. What?
We are.
And I need to go. Oh, my God. I'm losing my – I got to go to bed. Oh, my God.
All right, man.
But people – that was probably our most random-ass podcast yet, and I hope you enjoyed it, because whenever we don't have a guest, this is what you can expect.
Arr.
Arr. We did talk about pirates a little bit, but it was kind of a, yeah, pirates. Okay, but we did get an idea for a Let's Play, which I think will be funny. I'm gonna start downloading that as soon as we're done here. But, yeah, folks, thank you for listening, as always. Please come back next week. We'll have a topic. We'll have a guest. Please come back next week. It's not always going to be like this. it'll be better, I promise. It gets better. Okay.
These are really the best ones, honestly. I have more fun with this than... Yeah.
People have said they like it when we just shoot the shit, so maybe this will be a good one. I hope it's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
All the shit was shot.
There was a lot of shit being shot all over the place. We hit a wide swath. We hit the barn. We hit the wall. We hit a lot. We hit the fan.
No tribbles for harm.
We hit multiple fans. Oh, my God. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Jim, thank you so much for co-hosting. And everyone, thank you for listening. Oh, my God, I'm losing it. Okay. Bye, everybody. Good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.
I bet sunshine down, but I see only one. When I think I'm over you, I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no warmth in the light, and how I miss those desert skies. You're cool.
stars in the sky, but they seem so much kinder when we watch them, you and I.
They seem so much kinder when we watch them.